Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to Stacking the Box. As always, Ian McMillan here with Sterling Holmes at Homestretch KC. This is a big wide receiver show this week's episode because news broke this morning. Justin Jefferson signed a new contract with the Minnesota Vikings. We're also going to be tiering wide receivers in the NFL this week. We did quarterbacks last week. We did teams the week before. Now we're on to wide receivers. This is the story of the NFL offseason, but really what I think might be the story today is that Sterling has a new setup that has some sound effects with it.
Yeah, baby. And then if we're talking about the Falcons, I think that's pretty apt.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's a nice microphone, too. It's your voice is coming in silky on that thing.
Thank you, baby. Gonna turn it down a little bit. It's time for Stacking the Box. Oh yeah. What do you want to rank? We'll rank anything for you, baby. This is bad. I have too much power, and with a minor amount of power comes just the ability to just ruin everything. So we're gonna have some fun.
That's going to be a fun little setup for us. All right.
Yeah, Richard hates me now. Richard's so upset by this, by the way. Richard, he has spent so much time like trying to talk me through this. His job got way harder, and it's all because of me.
I'm jealous of that setup. I wish I had some sound effects on my end, but no soundboard for me. Before we get into the show here fully, DraftKings Sportsbook. Guess what, football fans? DraftKings is offering a no-sweat bet sign-up bonus for new users, new customers who sign up using the code STB. That's STB. It stands for Stack in the Box. And deposit at least $5 will receive a no sweat bet up to $1,500 on their first wager. That means if you place a first bet of $50 and you lose, you'll receive a $50 credit and bonus bet straight into your account. Up to $1,500. That's $1,500. You'll also receive one single game parlay reward every single day using our code STB. Not only gets you these bonuses, but also helps directly support this podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use a code STB to maximize your first bet. This offer is only available to new customers or 21 plus physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code STB.
I love it. Good job. Proud of you.
So, yeah, top story this week has to be what happened this morning. Vikings have signed Justin Jefferson to a $140 million contract extension, 4 years. He has now become, by the way, that has $110 million guaranteed. The deal makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Any thoughts, Sterling?
A lot of thoughts. Minnesota did the right thing. I think a lot of people's initial reaction is, what the bleep? How do you give a wide receiver a four-year deal with, I guess, basically an out with $110 million guaranteed, right, for Justin Jefferson? Well, that lines up with J.J. McCarthy's rookie contract. This is giving J.J. McCarthy a chance, or at least you can now see what you have in the guy. A lot of teams, I think, have learned from the Bears and, quite frankly, the Panthers. You have no idea what Justin Fields really was. You have no idea what Bryce Young really was. Do I think they're good? Probably not. But you didn't give him a chance. When you trade DJ Moore When you have no offensive line or not a lot of weapons for Justin Fields, how are you supposed to get a good understanding of said quarterback? There's only a handful of guys that are real game changers, right? There's obviously Patrick Mahomes, there's Josh Allen, and we'll see a better chance this year with his lack of weapons, you know, and there's Joe Burrow, which again, we'll see what happens with T. Higgins and Jamar. I love Joe Burrow. I think he's a great quarterback, but is he one of those guys who can elevate everyone? If so, well, do you pay Jamar Chase? Do you pay T. Higgins? Which we'll talk about in a little more detail. What it comes down to me is the Vikings did the right thing to evaluate what they have in their rookie quarterback. Now, The interesting thing is the Vikings were first. Vikings were first. They said, you know what? We're done. We're not going to screw around anymore. We'll go 35. Well, now what's CeeDee Lamb going to get? Right. What's Jamar Chase going to get? Also LSU. I know he has a rivalry and a friendship with Justin Jefferson, but you're telling me Jamar Chase isn't going to want to get more than Justin, right? You're telling me he's going to say, you know what? I'm good with 33. No, Jamar's going to want his $35 million per year and a dollar. He's going to want the exact same or slightly more. And if you're the Bengals, you don't have a quarterback on a rookie deal. Joe Burrow's massive new contract doesn't always kick in or totally kick in as far as the cap. And it's not crazy, but it ain't a rookie deal. It ain't JJ McCarthy. You want to pay Trey Hendrickson? What are you going to do with T. Higgins? And quite frankly, I'm not trying to take a shot on the Bengals, but their organization is cheap. When you pay $110 million guaranteed, the owner has to write a check, put it in escrow. The Bengals, are they going to have to get a small loan to take it out? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny here. With Joe Burrow, when he got that contract extension, they had to put money in escrow. What happened to the field? What happened to the Bengals Stadium? It's now called like Paycom. They had to get a sponsor for it when they never did before. Again, a lot of ownership groups and a lot of owners, a lot of team owners, they have stuff to make money outside of football. Shad Khan has his whole car situation. Clark Hunt, again, not the richest owner by any means, but he's at least got some oil money. The Bengals ownership group is, they own the Bengals. That's what they do. This is going to be fascinating to see how they have Jamar Chase and the situation play out. Even when they brought in Trey Hendrickson on that big deal, a lot wasn't guaranteed. They don't always have the money to just write a check and put it in escrow. So with Justin Jefferson, this made things very fascinating for the Bengals and Jamar. Now do they come back to T. Higgins and say, hey, yeah, we love you because you're going to take $25 million and not $35 million per year. If they sign Jamar, well, Trey Hendrickson's gone. T. Higgins is gone. And then can Joe Burrow lead a Bengals team that's just him and Jamar? That defense is going to fall and be 2018 Chiefs. We know Mahomes can elevate. Can Joe Burrow? I'm extremely fascinated to see how this plays out. But if you're a Bengals fan, you cannot be thrilled with what, I don't think you're surprised, but you cannot be thrilled with what Justin Jefferson got, especially with the guarantees.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it's interesting because that, excuse me, this is kind of what happens every time that there's, you know, the next big contract is that it almost has even more of an effect on the league as a whole than it has on that one team that made that signing. Because now this contract now completely resets the market for wide receivers moving forward. So that's something that, like you said, mainly, you know, teams like the Cincinnati Bengals got to worry about. Teams like the 49ers with Brandon Ayuk, this is going to play a big role in how these contract talks go moving forward. So I think that I think you nailed it. I don't really have too much to add, but I did, just to kind of reiterate your point, I think this is going to have a big ripple effect across the NFL. It's not necessarily just about Justin Jefferson signing this contract. It's about what happens kind of with the rest of the NFL.
Yeah. And again, it's not baseball where there's any amount of money. There's a salary cap. But again, some ownership groups, they're going to spend up to the salary cap. That's not the question. It's how do they do the contracts? How much guaranteed money? That's where it gets fascinating between organizations. That's why Jerry Jones can afford to most likely pay CeeDee Lamb $35 million per year. Would the majority of NFL owners do that? Are they able to do that? Maybe. But it comes down to the guaranteed money. And I'm just very intrigued. And then you hear Tyreek Hill, at least the rumblings on X, if he wants a new contract now because he wants to be top five and all this stuff. Although he just signed that new contract, what was it, a year ago or 2 years ago? And he already wants it. Again, that's wide receivers, baby. They're divas. We know how wide receivers work. They're divas.
Yeah.
It's all a pissing contest. And quite frankly, I think CeeDee Lamb gets paid because Jerry Jones probably wants to say, I have the highest paid wide receiver on my team. That's a very Jerry Jonesian thing to do.
Yeah. All right. If you don't have anything else to add to that, to actually stick with the Dallas Cowboys here. Some sad news broke today. Larry Allen, Cowboys Hall of Famer, one of the greatest offensive linemen of all time, passed away today at just 52. So pretty young, apparently died suddenly on vacation in Mexico. So just wanted to kind of make a point of that. One of the greatest. I mean, I think he's on the all-decade team for both the 1990s and the 2000s. You know, there's not very many offensive linemen that I can even name in the history of the NFL. But he was certainly one of them. Larry Allen was one of them. One of the few offensive linemen that you could actually sit down and watch a Larry Allen highlight tape and it'd be entertaining. So, just wanted to bring that up. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. Obviously, some sad news that broke this morning as well.
Yeah, it's horrible. And you hate it. You're right, though. That was interesting as far as the few offensive linemen that has a highlight tape. Larry Allen had that. Dude was a badass. What's funny is the 90s, 2000s, all-decade team. It's him and Willie Rofe also on that list. But when you are in a conversation with best offensive linemen of all time, Larry Allen is on that list. Just phenomenal player. And again, thoughts and prayers go out to him, his family. It's hard. That's awful.
First team NFL All-Pro 7 times, 11-time Pro Bowler, and won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys in 96 as well. Rest in peace. A couple other quick things I want to touch on here before we get into our wide receiver tier list, because let's be honest, at this point of the NFL season, we're kind of in the dog days. We've gone through the schedule. We don't have too much to talk about. So we're going to continue doing these tier lists, which are fun. And it's kind of going to be related
to this baby.
And we're going to talk Justin Jefferson. I mean, now that he's the highest paid receiver, is he going to be on the top tier? Wait and find out. Other quick things though, Bill signed wrestler Gable Stevenson. Obviously he's not going to make an impact. I think best case scenario, Gable Stevenson would be a practice squad guy. But looked at as one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, Olympic gold medalist 2020 in Tokyo. You add his name now to the list of wrestlers who have gotten NFL tryouts. Brock Lesnar did.
The Rock.
The Rock. Right? What did yeah. I don't? Did he get an NFL trade? He played in the CFL for a few years. I know that for sure. I don't know.
He played in an NFL game though. Maybe it was a preseason. I thought there was something. I should know more, but I'm not a big wrestler guy. That's not really my scene. But hopefully, Gable can jump from the Gables off the top rope and make a roster. It'd be very surprising. But wrestlers are strong as hell, dude. wrestlers are a different breed. Those are some of the strongest dudes. There's football, obviously, are phenomenal athletes, but the strength, right? That's what really separates a lot of those guys, the mindset. Wrestlers have that. They have the strength. They have the mindset, but it's going to come down to what happens when the pads come on. That's going to be the biggest change. Right. So that'll be a fun story to watch, though. Wrestler Gable Stevenson.
Yeah, I mean, no athlete understands, you know, leverage better than a wrestler does. He is 6'1", 275, so he's a big guy, too. I mean, I guess a defensive tackle would kind of make sense.
Wait, time out. Is that wrestling weight, or is that legit? I guess you're right.
I don't know. No. I'm just seeing it from – that can't be his wrestling. There's no way he wrestles at 275. Wrestle way
later. That's huge.
This article says he's 6'1", 275.
He's a big boy, dude.
Big boy.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Hasn't worked
University of Minnesota looks like.
Yeah. Minnesota is known for wrestling. Minnesota, Iowa. Too, baby.
Don't hit on Mizzou now.
Mizzou. Yep. Yep. No one's been able to make the successful switch from wrestling to NFL in the past. So maybe he can do it. Like I said, I think best case scenario is he makes a practice squad, and because he's going to take a couple of years to develop at the very least. But I mean, he obviously has the natural ability to do it. But in my opinion, if Brock Lesnar wasn't able to do it, I don't know if Gable Stevenson's going to do
it. I will say that,
I wish
though,
him the best.
Brock Lesnar, with all due respect, was it WWE?
No, he was a wrestler before WWE. But Brock Lesnar was like a champion wrestler.
But was he doing that when he tried to go pro? Like, this guy just won a gold medal. I know he's signed to the WWE right now, so maybe that's a bad example. But like, we know this guy is one of the best wrestlers, right? You win a gold medal at wrestling. We're not just talking WWE. We're talking legit. Legit. As far as clean.
Or Brock Lesnar was a national champion,
allegedly,
in 2000.
I don't know if
he's not an Olympic champion, but he won the NCAA national championship in 2000, and his tryout with the Vikings was in 2004. So
okay, so yeah, he's probably good then too. Yeah, we'll see. I just think it's really cool. Also, the picture of him just holding the American flag behind him. I would root so hard for Gable Stevenson. I'm rooting for American legend Gable Stevenson.
Yeah. American sports hero. And then finally, just
you
the
and
last
your Canada stuff. Okay. Yeah. No, we're talking about that. Yeah. You and your Canada stuff, man.
Oh my God, you have a beep too. Canada's not exactly known for wrestling, unfortunately. Not an Olympic sport that we thrive at.
Name one you do. Curling.
We crush the Winter Olympics. What are you talking about? Curling, hockey. Anything winter, like when Canada beats the United States in the Winter Olympics. So relax.
Not wars.
Well, we did burn down the White House once.
And then you said, oh, sorry, eh?
Bears will be featured on Hard Knocks this year. I'm out on Hard Knocks. I don't care. I don't know. I feel like I remember you saying you're out on Hard Knocks too. So I don't know if you care, but it's one of the only pieces of news from this past week. So we had to throw it out there. I mean, it will be interesting because, of all the, you know, Caleb Williams being there and, you know, he's actually going into a pretty good situation with the amount of weapons they have. Will I watch it? To be honest, probably not, though.
Yeah, when I say out on Hard Knocks, it's not that I don't necessarily enjoy it or find it fun, or that I think other people should not enjoy it or find it fun. I was out last year because of Jets and how they were handling it, right? Jets were trying to have all these rules and regulations. And I'm like, well, that's not really Hard Knocks then. You're trying to make like a reality TV show that makes you guys look good. That's lame. No, if they allow Hard Knocks to do what Hard Knocks does best, then I think it's fun, entertaining, and it should be great. The issue, and not really even an issue, it's more of a, this is all me. I don't watch it a lot. I know I probably should. I don't have time. It's not that I don't want to, that I don't care. It's, well, you're kind of the same boat. When you do an NFL stuff, you don't always have time to sit down and watch hour-long episodes of that program. I don't watch hardly any TV. I really don't. Outside of sports, I don't watch much TV. I like Hard Knocks. I'll watch the highlights.
That's kind of the thing with Hard Knocks is that like you can just not watch it from start to finish, and all the good parts are going to be clipped out on social media the next day. So, if it was the Falcons, I'd watch it. The Bears, I'm probably not going to watch it, to be honest.
Agreed. If it was the Chiefs, you better believe I'll find time. I'll sleep even less hours at night than I do. Like, but if it's the Bears, da Bears. I'm fine. Give me the highlights.
Yeah. All right. Shall we get to our tier list?
Oh, we shall.
Let's bring it up. Do we want to rename any of these tiers? I guess we probably should have talked about this before, but receiver is a little bit actually tougher than quarterback, because quarterback, there's really like there is distinct tiers where pretty much all the starting receivers in the NFL are at least good. Like, yeah. I'm not going to say like I don't think there's a number one starting receiver that I'm going to put in the trash category. So I don't like maybe even the bottom category, you just want to make it average or below average.
Yeah, I feel like you have like C is the lowest. Like on this one, I feel like C, you're gonna have like S tier, which stands for stud.
Yeah, so let's work from the bottom up. That it might be a little bit easier. Below average, average. Because also, by the way, we're not doing every single receiver in the NFL. We'd be here for the next 8 hours. Where I think it's like one or two from each team. So D is above average. Good.
Great. B is great. A is elite.
Well, is stud above elite?
Yeah.
Really great?
Really great.
There we go. Stud. And then stud.
All right. I like average being a jag, just a guy. Okay. That's for me.
Okay.
Okay. Average is a jag. That's just a guy. All right. We got CeeDee Lamb first up on the list. My initial reaction is anywhere from stud to really great. It depends how you want to have stud broken down. I think there's maybe five players that fall into the stud category, and I think I'm ready to put CeeDee Lamb there.
If there's five, you have to put CeeDee Lamb there.
Yeah. I think I'm ready to put CeeDee Lamb in the stud category.
Yeah. He proved it last year, especially because last year, don't forget, the Cowboys didn't really have a good number two receiver. Like, he did it almost solely by himself last year.
Yeah. Give the dude credit, even though he is a Cowboy and it's fun to root against, but a rocket.
AJ Brown is the next one. He's an interesting one. He has shown stud-like qualities at times, but can you put him up there with the top five receivers in the NFL?
I think he may be in the really great category.
I think he's really great. I think he's kind of the definition of really great.
Yeah, I don't know if he's quite... Like, if you're saying I could have AJ Brown or CeeDee Lamb, I'm going CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Like, I might stop for a second, but not long.
Right. Yeah. But like I said, he has shown stud-like potential or even flashes of stud-like play, but I need to see it a little bit more of a consistent basis for him to be a, you know, permanent spot on the stud list. Next up, we got Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And this is probably going to make folks mad if I put AJ Brown in the really great and not in the above. I get it. I'm more or less going off of 1 year, which is last year. He's had a really solid start to his career. Amon-Ra St. Brown just got an absolute massive contract. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he's perpetually underrated. He's either really great or stud. I'll let you decide, but I think he's very close to that stud. I'll go really great if we're only going to put a couple in the stud, but I think Amon-Ra is knocking on the door.
Yeah, I agree. I think really great. I think we got to leave stud for the stud, but he would be in my opinion the top of the really great category. I'd even put him above AJ Brown.
I think he's so underrated, dude. I love him on Ross St. Brown.
All right, next up we got Amari Cooper. It's kind of an interesting one.
Man, I feel like good was my initial reaction for Amari Cooper. You know, he's had great seasons before. I don't know if I would go great. I mean, he had 1,250 yards last year with not great quarterback play.
Yeah.
I could go great with you if you wanted to. I feel like
now I want to do good because I think it's just with receivers. I think we got to be a little bit more picky than we normally would, or else I think almost everyone on this list is going to be great or better.
Okay. I'll do Amari Cooper good, but right. I think he let it be known that I think he's close to great, and I would probably put him in the great, even though he's so inconsistent game in, game out. He seemingly goes over a K fairly often.
Yeah. Brandon Cooks. Okay, that's an interesting one. I don't know. Something is going on with Brandon Cook, because it does kind of like, or he does produce everywhere that he goes, but he can't, like, no team wants to keep him. So, like, I don't fully understand what his issue is. He's gone from the Saints to the Patriots to the Rams to the Texans, and then he was on the Cowboys last year. With that being said, he's had, yeah, I think now he's had back to back not great years. I think he's average.
Well, again, based on the list of guys we have, like, we're not throwing DeMarcus Robinson or Byron Pringle. I'm just naming former Chiefs. They were, like, you know, they're Jags.
Right. If we were ranking all NFL wide receivers, he'd probably be above average.
Correct. But based on what we're doing right now, what we're rocking with, let's go with Brandon Cook's average.
Yeah. Because really what we're ranking is starting wide receivers is what we're ranking. Because I think it might be
good point. Yeah. We're ranking for as far as starting wide receivers go. We'll go average.
He's average. Yeah. All right. Next on the list, Brandon Ayuk. Now, Brandon Ayuk's an interesting one because he, in my opinion, is actually extremely underrated. Kind of like how the 49ers offense is that almost every player on that offense outside of Christian McCaffrey is underrated, because so many people, and maybe rightfully so, say that a lot of their production is because of how good of a offensive system Kyle Shanahan has. So, I mean, if you look at PFF.com player ranking last year, he was the number two ranked in terms of player grade receiver.
He's the most polarizing player where it feels like the analytic community thinks he's a top three player.
Right.
While if you're not into a whole bunch of those superlative numbers, you think that he's a really good player.
Yeah.
I think if you're just a film guy, you might say great. If you're a nerd, you're saying stud. I think I'll split the difference and say he's really great.
Okay. I can deal with really great. I was going to, if you said great, I would have fought back, but I'll settle with really great.
I think I'm with you, but I do think it's funny how the community of the Brandon Ayuk community is very, very split on thoughts on him.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Next up, we got Calvin Ridley. Oh, my old friend Calvin. In this picture, he's on. He has a Jaguars jersey on. I'm blanking. What team is he? Right.
He's signed with
not the Raiders.
No, where did he sign?
He is on the Tennessee Titans.
Ah, sure he is. Is he average or above average?
I think he's
overrated.
Yeah,
like you hear the name Calvin Ridley, and you're like, oh, what a great player, and you're like, oh, well,
I mean, he had some great years with the Falcons. I'm going to put him at above average right now, even teetering on average, to be completely honest. Especially last year, when Christian Kirk went down, all the weight went on Calvin Ridley's shoulders, and he did not deliver. He played worse after Christian Kirk went down. So, in my opinion, he can't cut it anymore as a number one guy. So,
completely agree. Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, even the first couple of years in Atlanta, he had Julio Jones on the other side. So, yeah, I will go above average. And if you wanted average, I wouldn't even argue against it. But maybe we'll stick with that above average.
Sure.
Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
above average. He's a hard player to really judge. I've always had a very difficult time judging Chris Godwin. I don't know why. You know, he went over 1,000 yards yet again last year. That's three straight years over 1,000, four out of his last five over 1,000. It just never seems electric, right? It's not Tyreek Hill, obviously. I'll go good with Chris Godwin. I think that the Buccaneers wide receiving core as a whole is kind of vastly underrated.
Yes, I agree. And I think if we are ranking this based on starting receivers in the NFL, I think good is where he'd fall. I think if he was all receivers, he'd be great. But if we're just talking starting receivers right now at this point of his career, I think he's good.
Yeah. All right. Chris Olave is what it looks like up next.
Chris Olave battled injuries last year, didn't he?
Do you go great? I think great. I think he's on the cusp of really great. I think you're on the cusp of really great with Chris Olave. And I wouldn't argue if you put him in the really great category. I think he's a needle mover.
You wouldn't argue with a really great? Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue too much with it. I know he's very, very young and only 1,100 yards last year, only. 1,000 yards as a rookie. He's on the right trajectory, and I think he's going to have just a massive year this year. I'll go great with you if you want to.
Okay, sure, I'll go great.
I like Chris Olave. It's tough because he's so young, and I think this year he's going to have just a phenomenal year, and we're all going to look back and say, wow, he really was a really great wide receiver, but...
And he battled some injuries last year as well. Deontay Johnson.
I love Deontay Johnson. Massive fan, but he's been injured. He's been a little disappointing, I think.
But also, I mean, this is the thing with wide receivers, too. It's like, who's throwing him the ball, too?
Agreed. But, like, his 2021, dude was awesome. 2021, he was awesome, over 1,100 yards. And then the next year, he went for 882. And then last year, again, smaller sample size because only 13 games, 717. I think he's a really good wide receiver, but I know he's had bad quarterback play and some injuries, but I got to see it now, or was that 2021 the outlier? I think I'll put him above average. I'll go above average with Deontay.
Deontay Johnson's now on the Panthers.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting.
Does that feel fair with you?
I'll go above average. Yeah, I'll go above average. DJ Moore.
Great.
Yeah, I think he's kind of I think he fits solidly into great. And I wouldn't put him in good, and I wouldn't put him in really great. I think great is exactly where DJ Moore fits.
Yep.
DK Metcalf.
Great.
Okay, great. Yep. Easy.
That's easy. Yeah, I feel like him and DJ Moore are like the prototypical, like, yeah, they're great. Not really Drake, great, they're great.
Drake London, stud.
Good. I think good.
I want to say great, but Drake London, I mean, the quarterbacks he's had to play with the last 2 years. He's had to play with Desmond Ritter and Marcus Mariota. I don't know if any receiving core has played with two worse quarterbacks
career. Garrett Wilson would love a word.
That's true. Garrett Wilson. Great point. But yeah, Drake London would be pretty close there too with Marcus Mariota and then Desmond Ritter / Taylor Heineke. So, yeah, I actually think he is great, but I just there's not enough body of work yet for me to kind of back that up. So if you want to go good for Drake London, I'll go good. I think Drake London has an explosion of a year, though.
Yeah, I could see it. I'm not saying I could disagree, but I did the same thing with Chris Olave. I moved him down, even though I think he's really great based on body of work so far, the youngness. I'm going good.
Okay. Gabe Davis.
Below average.
Yes.
I mean, unless we want to put Brandon Cooks, this is for starting wide receivers. I feel like him and Brandon Cooks are kind of the same page at this point in their career.
Yeah, I agree. If you're like Gabe Davis, I think is a good or maybe even great with number three wide receiver to have in your team. If we're ranking these as if these guys are a number one or number two guy, he is below average. I would feel if he was on the Falcons and he was my number two guy, I'd be like, that's not great.
Let's put Cooks average there too. I think Cooks and Gabe Davis are in the same stratosphere right now.
Yep. Okay. I agree with that. Next up, we got Garrett Wilson, who rookie of the year, obviously. And then what did he do last year?
Really great.
Not great. Okay. Wow.
Garrett Wilson's stud. Garrett Wilson is stud, dude.
He actually had a much better year last season than stud, I actually thought he did.
Not stud category, but yeah, over 1,000 yards last year with look at that group of receivers.
95 receptions, 1,000 yards. Yeah.
He's great. And I think he's one of the few guys who could border on stud category in the next next year or two. Like if you had to give me a guy who's like 1,500 plus yards this upcoming season, give me a list of like breakout candidates, if you will, I'd put Garrett Wilson at the top of that list.
Interesting. PFF only ranked his season last year 43rd amongst all receivers.
Yeah. PFF. That's why you take with a grain of salt.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got Jahan Dotson.
Average, if not below average.
I think average. I kind of like Dotson, to be honest. I think that Commanders wide receiver core is a little bit underrated.
He's young. I mean, but he's done nothing his really first 2 years, 500 yards or so. I think we're going below average. I can't.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm putting Gabe Davis there, Gabe Davis has at least done more than Dodson.
Okay. I'm fine with that then. We'll go. Okay. Yep. That's fair. Next up, we got George Pickens.
Good.
Good.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he's above. He is like Amari Cooper. He is like Chris Godwin. He is like Drake London to me. Like, as far as the starting wide receiver category that we're doing right now, I feel like he's in the same group of that guy. I can't put George Pickens in the Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave.
Oh, no, I definitely was going to put him great.
So,
yeah. Okay.
So good. I think,
Jacoby Myers.
I'll go average.
Okay.
I think Jacoby Myers has been the below average guys right now. I think Jacoby Myers is a damn solid wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, another guy who hasn't really played with very many quarterbacks, good quarterbacks the past few years.
He really came on last year strong.
Okay. I'll go with average. I think we have the next stud category here. Justin Jefferson signed big contract today. You would hope the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL as of today would be a stud at his position. And I think we can do that.
Clear cut stud.
We're going to go stud, but this Jamar Chase.
Yeah, stud. Yeah, stud.
Okay. Okay. We're going to go stud, but he's, I guess he's
Josh Reynolds.
1200. Yeah. Next up, we got Jameson Williams.
Oh, sorry. Jameson Williams. So the Lions jersey. Jameson Williams. Oh, man. Average to below average.
Yeah. He hasn't done much.
He hasn't done hardly anything. Everyone's going to talk about talent and potential, but yikes. I'll go below average for now, man.
Yeah, below average for now. He has potential, but.
Yeah, he ain't there yet.
Jaden Reed, who low-key.
Is kind of filthy.
Low-key had a pretty good year last year. 793 yards, 64 receptions on 94 targets, 8 touchdowns.
Let's go average for this category right now. As far as like, I think he could totally move up this year, but I need to see more from him. It wasn't like he went over K as a rookie, and
you're right. If we're ranking based on starting wide receivers and Jaden Reed was your number two wide receiver, you'd be like, okay, that's average for right now. But he's showed a lot of promise for a guy who like wasn't a top tier pick out of the draft. Pretty good rookie season. Yeah, second rounder. Pretty good rookie season. Finished sixth in offensive rookie of the year voting last year. And really came on at the end of the year, too. So it'll be interesting to see how he develops. Jalen Waddle, who also actually quietly signed an extension recently.
Yeah, he's a lot of money. Look at what I think it's over 25% of the cap is going to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I'm not even being facetious. Yeah, I'd say it's a large chunk going to those two wide receivers. I think he's great. I think he's in the Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson right now category.
Yep.
I think he's great.
Okay, I agree with that. I like great. Jordan Addison, obviously Vikings receiver, got paid today. Jordan Addison was a rookie last year. Pretty solid rookie year for Jordan Addison. Rookies are obviously a little bit tough to judge.
He had 10 touchdowns, 911 yards. I kind of want to say above average. I feel like he's almost in the Jaden Reed category, but he had more of an opportunity. But he had more production. He did step up when Justin Jefferson went down, which
he did.
I'll go above average.
I'll go above average, but he'd be teetering on good. Josh Downs.
Below average.
Below average. We're talking starting wide receiver. Yeah. He's unfortunately below average. Keenan Allen, who is going to be wide receiver number two most likely for the Bears this year. Behind DJ Moore, depending on how Roma Dunze looks. But Keenan Allen, that's a great question, actually.
I'm going great.
I'd go great. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that's actually where he fits
pretty well. Dude, he had 1,243 yards in 13 games last year.
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people forget how good Keenan Allen is. He gets injured a good amount, right? I get that. But dude is one of, if not the best, route runners in the NFL. Like, if you ask, whenever you do these interviews, like you've done a lot of these too, Ian, whenever you ask like players, you know, Well, especially young guys, young receivers, like who's a wide receiver you like, or who's on your Mount Rushmore? The amount of young dudes are like Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
The most surprising name. They're all like, no, he's watch him run routes. Like watch what he does. Keenan Allen is, you're going to look back. I think people are gonna look back on his career and he's very undervalued.
Yeah. Hollywood Brown, the new member of the Chiefs.
Above average.
Yep. Easy. Michael Pittman Jr.
I think Hollywood Brown's going to have a really nice year, but he's just around that 900 to 1,000-yard receiver. He's not in that, like, 1,200 range. I don't see that from Hollywood. I could be proven wrong.
Yep.
But I think of him more as that consistently 900 to 950-ish guy.
Yes. Michael Pittman Jr., the Colts, who I just traded for in my Dynasty League. I know everyone wants to hear about everyone's fantasy football leagues, but I'm a little bit higher on Michael Pittman.
My guy. No one What's cares. That? It's like yeah. it's like hearing about Correct. People's dreams. No one cares.
Correct. But I am kind of higher on Pittman than I think some other people are. Pretty solid year with Gardner Minshew throwing him the ball for the most part last year, and he took a step forward from the year before. I want to say Pittman's great.
Yeah.
Can you take that leap with me?
I was so close. I think yeah, I'll go great. I'll go
give
great.
Give me Pittman. Michael. Give me Pittman. Accurate.
I'll give you Pittman. Because he's on the cusp right there. I think he's going to be this year, right? Like I really think he's a needle mover wide receiver.
Yes. True number one, I think. Mike Evans. So we put Chris Godwin earlier at good. Do we put Mike Evans at great? A lot of the same numbers last year, but Mike Evans got significantly more touchdowns. I think either led the league or second the league in receiving touchdowns.
He's easy great.
Is that good enough to
get him? He's great. He has 10 straight seasons over 1,000 yards. He's easily, him and Keenan Allen are kind of the same category of almost underrated because they don't do it. They're not the most electrifying player. It's not Tyreek or Devontae or CeeDee Lamb or Jamar. It's not the hot new young thing, but they just perpetually put up numbers.
Yep. Next up, we got a guy who has shown flashes of greatness almost every single year, but then gets hurt. Mike Williams of the Chargers.
Either good or above average.
Who is now on the Jets, by the way.
Yes, yeah, I knew that. He's on a one-year, like, $10 million contract. I'll go good or above average.
I'll go good. I was going to say average then, so I'll go above average.
Okay, we'll go above average. There we go.
Nico Collins.
Good.
Houston Texans. You're just going good.
Yeah, I think this year we'll see him be great, but...
Nico Collins is ranked last year. PFF has him as the third best receiver last year.
I love Nico Collins, but if we're doing the same categories as far as like production, right? Like if we're going to count a lot of production, what you've done in consistency and how many years have you done it? I mean, yeah, 1,300 yards last year, he broke out.
In 15 games.
Yeah.
Eight touchdowns.
It's tough.
I got to say great. After I'll last year's great. Performance, I got to say great.
Yeah, you're right. I'll go great.
I see where you're coming from, though, because nothing in his first 2 years, really.
I mean, nothing. I do think he's going to be a guy that we look at as a top 10 receiver this year. But it's, I guess we're doing 24, 25. So,
yeah,
a little projecting here. Yeah.
Puka Nacua.
Good. Ooh. He had a phenomenal first year. Ooh. Phenomenal first year. But when Cooper Kupp came back, who became the guy?
They kind of split it 50-50.
You want to go great?
It's just so hard to judge rookies on one season.
I know. Let's go great.
Damn.
The great list is going to be larger than every other list, but I think he's in there.
I'll do good.
No, let's go great. He's great.
Okay, we're going great.
He's great.
Rashee Rice. I'll let you take that one.
Good.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I mean, what? I don't know where else you'd put him.
No, you're right.
If you put him above average, I wouldn't actually have that many qualms either. Like, I think it's hard.
I was saying between good and above average. So
yeah, he had a rookie year that was really solid.
Yeah.
I put him above Mike Williams, which seems hard to do. Put him above average. You know what? I'm an honest man. Put him above average for starting wide receiver.
If we're talking starting wide receiver,
he was above average.
He was
I think
average.
He's going to have, again, a really good year this year, but he's going to miss most likely some games. Yeah, we'll go above average.
Interesting one up next, a guy who used to be a stud. I think he has now fallen out of the stud category. It's Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I think he's...
Is he even still really great?
Oh, no. No.
Wait, how far are you... You're not dropping him down further than great.
Am I wrong here? Am I wrong, Walter?
I mean, he was looked at as like a stud 2 years ago, and then last year he's probably really great.
Yeah, 2 years is a long time in the NFL, though. I mean, it's hard because as the season went on, he really kind of almost fell out of favor. Like, it was weird. The Bills often stopped focusing on him, and they got better. Like, his last, 12 games for the Bills was not good. I'll go. What do you think?
I know our great list is long, but I want to put him at great.
All right, I'll do that too.
I mean, we're still talking 6 straight seasons with at least 1,000 yards.
Yes, you're right. I'm with you.
I mean, I get it. He's fallen off a little bit, and I don't know if he's the number one receiver in Houston this year, but he's still great.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm with you.
Speaking of Houston, Tank Dell. Another rookie from last year, and these rookies are
good. Bordering on great.
Yeah. Whew. The Houston receivers.
I really like Tank Dell. Yeah, the Houston team's salty.
T. Higgins.
I think he's good. Thank you. Thank you. I don't understand the T. Higgins he's elite. He's a legit wide receiver. No, he's not.
No, I agree.
He's a really good receiver. He's a really good receiver. Why do we have to always talk in hyperboles with players? He's a really good receiver.
Yeah, and if there was a really good category, he'd probably fit in there, but we do make a pretty big jump from good to great.
Yes.
I would probably put him in between those two, but based on how our lists are looking right now, I think I'd put him good.
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, who has shown, once again, another guy who's shown flashes of greatness, has never really had a strong quarterback to throw him the ball. I think great.
I think we're on the same page, man. I think he's, again, one of those more underrated players, receivers.
Yeah. This one is obviously a no-brainer. Just go ahead and toss him in the stud category, Tyreek Hill.
Easy.
Borderline MVP last year.
He might be number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's Cooper Kupp? Let me see the list. There he is. I see him now.
He's here. He's coming.
Okay.
Zay Flowers, rookie. Tough to judge after one season. I will say
really good year. A really good. Solid year for that offense.
Good.
I mean, it's crazy because, you know, Rashee Rice had more yards, but same category as Rashee. I can't go good. I'll go above average. Because I think him and Rashee had very similar year ones, right? Like I think you can make the case that they're both very, very close.
Next up, we got my guy, who I'm a big fan of.
Richard, down above one. Average. He's above average. Come on now.
Next up is a guy I'm a big fan of. I got his jersey, Devontae Smith, a fellow short king.
Great.
Yeah.
He's in the same category. Yeah,
there's some games he's invisible. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I'd have to sit down and watch Devontae Smith film, but there is some games he's just completely invisible, and then there's some games that he looks like borderline elite. So I just don't really know why that is.
How tall are you, by the way, Ian?
5'9".
I'm 5'10". I got you, baby.
Ooh.
Every inch matters.
And I think Devontae Smith is 5'9", I think, right?
I think he's 6 foot, just really
six
really
feet.
Yeah.
No, Devontae Smith is not 6 feet tall. Stop. He's 5'8". I'm seeing it's saying 6 feet. Maybe it's just that he's skinny.
But just so skinny.
Maybe it's that he's skinny.
Tyreek's 5'10". He's so skinny. Tyreek's 5'10". Tyreek's a small cat.
So you're telling me Devontae Smith is 2 inches taller than Tyreek Hill?
Probably, yeah. Just Tyreek's thick as hell. That dude is thicker than a bowl of oatmeal.
Okay, so maybe it's just he's so skinny that I just thought that meant that he was short too. I swear I thought Devontae Smith was 5'7", 5'8". Okay. I'm wrong. Crazy. All right. Christian Kirk. He's good, borderline great.
Oh, I was going to say above average to good.
Oh, okay. Well, then we can settle on good, good then.
Good, yeah.
We can settle on good.
I like Christian Kirk a lot. I don't understand the contract hate. I get he like reset the market and everything, so everyone uses him as like an example. Like, well, look what Christian Kirk. I'm like, yeah, he's a really good receiver. He's a really good starting wide receiver.
And when he got hurt last year, the Jaguars fell off.
Yes,
significantly.
I agree. Yeah. I like agreeing with you, Ian.
Cooper Kupp.
Stud.
Is he still in the stud category?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. He was the Triple Crown.
He just won a Triple Crown 2 years ago.
And then was hurt last year. Yeah, we got to go Cooper Kupp.
And when he came back, he was studly again. Cooper Kupp, he's stud.
Yeah. Okay. Our really great ranking is only three guys in there. Maybe we'll get another one in there. Cortland Sutton. Average?
Average.
Yeah.
Every once in a while he makes a play that you go, I don't know of another receiver who makes that. And then we'll see if he ever gets a quarterback to go. Is he still with the Broncos?
Broncos, yeah. Because Jerry Jeudy's in Cleveland now, Cortland Sutton. Which I would take Cortland Sutton over Jerry Jeudy for sure.
Oh, I would too. No, I would too.
Yeah. Curtis Samuel.
Average.
Below average?
I think average.
Curtis Samuel's on the Bills now.
Curtis Samuel, there's more you can do with him than I think those guys in the below average category. I think he's an average starting wide, like a wide receiver too. If we're going again, his numbers have never been good.
Yeah.
I guess maybe you're right. I don't know. I've always been a fan of his game.
Yeah, but I just feel like he's a number three guy though. Like if we're just talking starters,
he's in the same category. Man, I think he's better than Gabe Davis though. Put him in below average. That's fine. For starting wide receivers.
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins, who obviously was a stud. He's gone a little over the hill now.
I want to say good.
You're dropping all the way to good. Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. Where did you have him? I mean, he had 1,000 yards last year. Great.
I was going to
2 years prior where he was injured. I get it, but you were injured two straight years.
Yeah.
You went for 572.
Yeah, you're right.
And 717. Now, the 717 came in 9 game for the Arizona. That's awesome. But part of staying healthy part of football is staying healthy too.
Yeah.
I know
3 straight years and no Pro Bowl or anything
for Cooper Kupp, but
yeah. All right.
Cooper Kupp was a Triple Crown winner. I think good.
Okay. And last one on the board, and I think now he probably slides into really great, and that's Davante Adams.
I'll go really great with you. I can't quite get to stud. I think really great.
Yeah, I mean he is 31 years old. Man,
am I doing the same to DeAndre Hopkins and not doing it to Cooper Kupp, because Cooper Kupp's now been injured 2 years? I guess, but he
when was he won the Triple Crown? Was it 2021? 2 years ago.
It was 2021.
Oh,
yeah, I forgot. He played in 9 games the year prior to last year, but I would have thought that was 2 seasons. He averaged 90 over 90 yards a game. Man, I don't know. Am I being unfair to DeAndre Hopkins right now? Am I being unfair to the man?
No, because it's been 3 years for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going with my gut.
Yeah, interesting.
Because I think those are the five best. Like if you ask me the five best wide receivers in football, I'm going CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp. If you ask me the next five best wide receivers in football, I'm going, you know, AJ Brown, Amon Ross St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Davante Adams, and number 10 is maybe Mike Evans, maybe it's Garrett Wilson, maybe it's Chris Olave. I feel like our top nine is pretty damn salty.
Do we want to make an even 10 and promote someone from great up to really great?
Yeah, but who's it going to be? I feel like that's tough right there.
Yeah, Mike Evans, I guess, would be my...
Evans would probably be mine just based on the consistency factor, even though I don't know if he's actually...
And Mike Evans is a touchdown machine.
Yeah, he's a touchdown machine. I like our list, though. I like our list a lot.
All right. We didn't really argue too hard about any of them. Quarterback, we got a little testy grown, there a couple times.
Ian, we've grown.
All right. I guess that's pretty much it then. That took us almost a full hour show.
Wow. I hope people enjoy wide receivers. This. Yeah. Beers up next. Offensive linemen, kickers, and then punters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we do running backs next week or
do we just running backs don't matter, Ian? No, haven't they you don't. Heard what the still, nerds yeah, have said? Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll figure something out for next week. So that's our show.
Some player do something stupid. Like, come on, NFL players, do something stupid.
Yeah, we need some big news.
Give us some news.
Yeah.
Or like something awesome. I don't care. NFL players do something. Like, I want to poke them with sticks right now and just say, do something.
Maybe next week we can have a Travis Kelce Taylor Swift relationship special episode and just talk.
I just saw
Travis
just,
and Taylor.
Just saw I got a picture of Travis Saturday night.
Fun we fact. Should just, we should just talk about that for an hour. We should talk about the relationship.
The Swifties are now all on my Twitter account right now.
Yeah.
Post a picture and they're all. Travis Kelce, good dude, by the way. Gave a lot of his time and effort and helped raise a lot of money for a great cause.
Yeah.
So.
Unless you're trying to defend him in training camp, then he'll punch you in the face. But other than that, he's a good guy.
This is what I think about the Falcons.
All right.
You know, all right, you know what your joke got, Ian?
It's not even a joke. It's a fact. He sucker punches teammates when they just try to defend him in a scrimmage. Just a fact.
Man,
no joke.
Ian, how about that airplane food?
Fact or fiction? Travis Kelce sucker punches his teammates.
Fiction. It's not sucker punch.
Fact.
Fiction.
All right, that's our show. Subscribe to Stack in the Box on YouTube. Rate and review the audio version of this podcast if you're listening to that. Follow Sterling on X at HomestretchKC. Follow me at Ian MacBets. Final word, Sterling.
I can't wait for the NFL season to finally start getting underway. Legit training camp. I can't wait. Go to St. Joe up there. That's what the Chiefs do it. They're doing old school. It's fun. I'm excited, man. This is a huge year for both of the teams we root for, the teams we cover. Chiefs going for the three-peat, obviously never been done in NFL Super Bowl history, right? Don't bring up something beforehand with the Green Bay Packers, right? They did it before the Super Bowl era. Super Bowl era, no team has won three straight Super Bowls. They're due. Chiefs are due. Mahomes, Kelce, Andy, they have the mindset. I mean, history is on the line. I mean, this is a historical year for Kansas City, for the Falcons. Historically, and they're not going to be complete two scoops of ass, so they have that going for them. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right. Sign up for an account at DraftKings Sportsbook using the code STB. Get your first bet. Back in bonus bets if he loses. You get a credit in bonus bets if it loses up to $1,500 since... We don't have football to bet on this week. My bet of the week, Corey Connors to win the Memorial Tournament on the PGA Tour, 45-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook. So go sign up for an account at DraftKings. Use the code STB. Thank you all so much for watching. We'll talk to you all next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.